Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now the artist in the office, or waiting tables, or driving a cab. In a new book, writer, artist, musician Summer Pierre stares the day job right in the eye. Her book is a guide for artists on how to creatively survive and thrive, even when you think your brain is on hold at your so-called work. The very artistically designed book is called The Artist in the Office, How to Creatively Survive and Thrive 7 Days a Week. Summer Pierre, welcome to WNYC.
It is great to be here.
And right at the start, you remind us, Walt Whitman was a nurse, Charles Bukowski was a postal clerk, mm-hmm. William Carlos Williams was an obstetrician, for heaven's sake. So this is a widespread condition, this day job thing.
Absolutely. In fact, I think it's a giant myth that many famous artists didn't ever have day jobs. It's something that we often need, especially poets and painters and all of that need a paycheck in order to sustain a life.
What are some of the day jobs that you've worked?
Oh, my gosh. I've been a nanny. I've temped all over New York. I've been an admin assistant, babysitter, all of those things.
And artist listeners, show us your day jobs. Call up. What day jobs do you work today or have you in the past while your real self was acting, dancing, strumming, app designing, writing the Great American Blog, After Hours? And how did you reconcile the two parts of your existence? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Summer, we've had this question up on our Facebook page all morning, and some of the responses that we've gotten. Let's see. The real job is the work or artistic practice, which I'm not sure answers the question.
Yeah.
Someone else wrote, as artists, we have a need to make our work, so that will always happen no matter what. My job enables me to buy art supplies, pay rent, and have somewhat of a social life. So the job is very much an important part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
See it as part of the process or just a necessary evil?
No, I think it's absolutely part of the process. I think that one of the great things that jobs sort of get for artists that are – artists tend to be very isolated, and it's a place to be part of the world and get material. And I have found that the times that I've been sort of independent and alone in my desk, I have actually craved the social interaction, and it's very much, I think, part of the process of art.
But as an artist, working as a nanny or mm-hmm. an administrative assistant, yeah. whatever, have you felt that you've been living two lives?
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. And I think that, because from 9 to 5, you know, I get up and I go commute and I'm in Grand Central and I have an office outfit on and everything, and it doesn't represent anything that I do with my paints or my writing. And it definitely feels like you're divided, but I think that the key is to start embracing that you're living one whole life and that you're always on the clock as an artist. And that never goes away.
Tracy in Newark, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tracy. Show us your day job.
Currently, I work in a theater office. I quit my previous day job about 6 months ago as an admin assistant at Prudential, and because it felt like it was just sucking every creative juice I had in my brain mm-hmm. right out of me. So I figured if my day job kind of matched and kept those creative juices flowing, then it might make the writing that I do a lot easier. And I found that it actually has been that way.
Tracy, thank you for your call. Summer, I think this is an interesting question because maybe it's different for different artists. Which is better, a somewhat creative day job that is somewhat engaging while you wait to do your art and doesn't completely put your brain into, you know, a comatose state, as I guess is the case for Tracy in Newark, or a mindless day job that doesn't leave you as depleted?
Mm-hmm. I think it depends on the artist, honestly. I have found that I worked in an art store and I've worked in a gallery, and I actually found that I needed something to turn off for my creative juices after hours. I was much more productive as an artist when I wasn't doing something that was related. But I have found other people that it's a great way to just stay in that flow. So I actually congratulate that theater job. I think that's awesome.
Roy on Roosevelt Island. You're on WNYC. Hi, Roy.
Yes, hi. I was very fortunate in that I worked in advertising for 30 years as a copywriter and a music director, so I was still in music. Being a concert pianist is my major goal and my major activity. And now I'm back to concert performance. The reason I was able to maintain my skills was because I meditated. I learned transcendental meditation, and so that after a very stressful 9-to-5 activity in advertising, I did my evening meditation, and then I was able to practice 2 hours in the evening, and so that now I'm back to regular performance. I'm giving a concert this Sunday even on Roosevelt Island, and making recordings, and I'm doing what I always wanted to do since the time I was 6 years old, but I had to have a day job before this career was able to fully manifest itself.
Roy, thanks a lot. And Summer, I guess he's really meditating on that transition between the day job and the art.
Yes, absolutely. And I think actually that's a key element of doing something that sort of bridges the gap or gives you a little bit of space in order to do your creative work. Because sometimes it's so draining doing a really busy office job and then all of a sudden coming home and doing your work, whatever that is. And meditation, I've heard that so many times, doing meditation or yoga or something like that, or just something mindless that will help you launch into the creative life outside of work.
My guest on WNYC, Summer Pierre, author of The Artist in the Office, How to Creatively Survive and Thrive 7 Days a Week. Summer Pierre, is your name a work of art by you or your parents?
My parents. I am a product of hippies. Proud of it.
It's a name that jumps out at you. Does it help on auditions or other job applications?
It's definitely, people don't often forget. When I was a musician, a lot of people said, is this a band or a person? And I was happy to say, just a person. And it definitely is something people remember.
That old line from the Pink Floyd song, which one's pink? It's all about money, right? I mean, if you didn't need money to live, you could just do your art all the time, even if you're not a hit.
I think yes and no, but I think one of the things that people underestimate is this, like I said before, the space and the ability to be in the world as a job. I think that it's not just about money. I think it's about being connected to the world and having a community of people, because it can be very isolating.
And you give your readers another interesting exercise. You ask, what else gives you the feeling of having money? What do you mean by the feeling of having money?
Well, because having the feeling of having money, you know, a lot of people think, oh, if I could just be rich, I could do X, Y, and Z. But instead, what is that X, Y, and Z specifically? Like, having money for me means having, like, I can pay my bills on time. I don't have to worry about food or anything like that. Other things give me that feeling, like, or a sense of ease. Like, wearing jeans every day gives me a sense of ease. It's not just about the amount of money. It's about the feeling that having that money would give you.
Jeff in Farmingdale, you're on WNYC. Show us your day job.
Construction worker, part-time, because the music industry doesn't allow me to work full-time because I have to be up for setups for the shows at 2 o'clock in the afternoon sometimes, so it's kind of hard to do a 9-to-5. But I find that my meditation is actually when I get up and play. So that's kind of what soothes me and gets me what I need outside of the work day.
And up at 2 o'clock in the morning finishing that last set, and then 7:30 you're out on the site lifting boulders. Is that a good compatible job for a singer-songwriter or just what you happen to do?
It really isn't. I find that sometimes that's slow, so I have to supplement my income with other things like computer repair and some website building and things like that. But I find that it's important to do whatever I need to do to free up my time. So if I get the call that I'm doing a big show on Friday, I can drop what I'm doing and go do the show, because that's most important to me.
Well, I think that's a great system, because I think one of the things that people underestimate is the power of getting a job that actually supports your career and gives you time. Like you said that you do part-time construction work because it's easier than doing 9-to-5. It doesn't stop you from doing those jobs. And I think that's something that a lot of people don't often think about when they get jobs. They get something that will basically, they have their life support their job, but how about getting a job that supports their life?
Good luck, Jeff. Erica in Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
So show us your day job.
I've been working as a babysitter and nanny.
Amen, sister.
And what's your art?
I'm a painter.
And do they go well together?
Not so much. I find that a lot of my downtime that I spend on the train, like picking the kid up from school, kind of feeds this hunger in me to you know, I develop ideas during a lot of that downtime, and that sort of feeds my process a little bit.
Are you learning anything from this conversation? Because I think Summer's main point is to kind of try to integrate your life and not just think of the day job as the necessary evil.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I want to get the book also. I know so many artists that have, you know, jobs as art handlers, you know, all kinds of things where they try to incorporate the two. So it's definitely a really interesting topic.
You like mindless or having to think in your time away from painting?
I have time to think. I have time to read.
I mean, you prefer a job where you have to think? I mean, obviously you have to think when you're taking care of a kid.
Yeah, I do. Previously, I lived in Tennessee, and I tried to meld the two together, so I had a lot of jobs teaching art to kids, but unfortunately in the South, there are a lot of jobs where they're at like, religious day camps for art, you know?
Huh.
So that was kind of rough sometimes.
All right. Nice, safe representational art. Is that what the religious campaign, or a lot of pictures of crosses, or what did they paint?
Yeah, a lot of that, and a lot of group prayer, and...
Erica, thank you.
That kind of thing
thank
also.
You. By the way, speaking of taking care of babies, did I hear that you blogged about giving birth in the back of a livery cab last month?
Yes, I did. My son is 6 weeks old, actually, tomorrow, and I did.
And you're out doing a book interview.
Here I am.
That's
this,
where there's life after birth.
Absolutely, and I'm at work. You know, it's the artist in the nursery. That's my next project, I think.
Do you want to say how it wound up happening in the livery cab?
Well, thank you, traffic on the BQE. That's what happened, basically. We were stuck in traffic for an hour and a half. And so we got off the exit, and that was it.
You know, on the TV show The Big Bang Theory recently, one of the science geek characters is stuck with a problem and decides to use Einstein's experience of working a mindless job during which he daydreamed the theory of relativity. And sure enough, this character becomes a waiter and has a scientific breakthrough. But I don't know, being a waiter can leave you worn out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I was just thinking about the nanny job also. It's very draining. And I think, again, it's mindless, but it's also physically draining to do stuff like that. And I think it's a key to find something that will still leave you having enough juice at the end of the day.
Marjorie in Red Bank, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi.
Show us your day job.
Well, I have a knife sharpening business.
Ooh, really?
And I've been doing it since 1984.
So when you get really, really angry about the inability of making a life as an artist, no, you don't do that. Right?
No, but there are so many puns in my business. So I started one day a week, and I had other jobs too, being a nanny, working in a fish market, lots of other things. And right now I'm able to just make it after 26 years of doing this to pay my bills, but I've always been able to do my artwork.
Marjorie, that's great. Thank you. Do people push back against you, Summer, and this book in this economy? Like, what a luxury to be worrying about integrating your work and art. You should just be thankful to have a job.
Yeah, and I would say also on top of that, I mean, that's my point in the book is that you know, it's not only, you know, hating the day job and just being, if you have to stay in the job, it's also about enjoying the job that you have and not thinking, oh, I have to get out now. Or if you're reinventing yourself, it's a good way to, different way to look at jobs. So you can get different kinds of jobs and not worry about it.
Alana in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alana.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, show us your day job.
Well, actually, I had a day job until July. I worked at a high-end carpet company here in New York. And first of all, I'm a belly dancer. I'm a professional belly dancer. So that was my alternative life. And I was able to really blend the two together. It really helped me with my sales with my clients when they found out I was a belly dancer.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the company was a very creative company, so they were real advocates for my dancing, and I would perform for them and for clients on occasion. But, you know, I've done just about everything for money to support my artwork. But I will say that it was really exhausting having a double life and getting to the studio. And sometimes I would actually fall asleep in my studio after working all day. But now I've left my job, and I'm working full-time as a dancer, and I'm starting my own business.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
you know,
Alana.
So, I mean, it's I feel extremely fortunate, and I, you know, there were many years where I thought it was just lucky to have a job at all, but, you know, that was a real transition in my mind to feel like I am an artist still, even though I'm working for another company. It was really a psychological change.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Right, you know, rather than feeling I was giving up something, I was contributing something.
There you go. Thank you so much. So, which all comes back, I think, to this one illustration in your book where you have two light bulbs. And instead of just the word idea feeding into the light bulb, you have accountability, schedules, moral support, hope, play, goals, process, companionship. And in our last 15 seconds, is that the point?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think two light bulbs are always better than one. And yeah, it's about communicating and sticking to it. And that's what you find with a community of people, which a job can give you.
The Artist in the Office, How to Creatively Survive and Thrive 7 days a Week. The author is Summer Pierre. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC.